Someone say, arise and shine. Welcome to the grind. This morning, I want to speak to you about the fight. You know, whenever you look at the scriptures that we just read, the first scripture that we read, here we have the Apostle Paul speaking to a young disciple who had just taken over the church. And he gives him instruction early in the Apostle Paul's ministry. He tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. The second scripture that I read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, this is at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, and he begins to tell him, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near, and I have fought the good fight, I have finished the faith. You know, the fight that you're up against and the opposition or the struggle that you often face in life, that comes from an enemy that you cannot see. An enemy that wants to come in and defeat you and keep you down. But this morning I came to tell you that God created you with greatness inside of you. And there are some of you that are here this morning. You have dreams. You've dreamt dreams of doing great things, and for whatever reason you've held back. Maybe life has been tough to you, or maybe due to a series of events, you've come to believe that those dreams are far-fetched and no longer possible. But this morning, I got a very clear message from the Lord for you. God knows your name. He created you with a specific purpose, and there's something that you still are supposed to do. See, every day you wake up, you have to understand this. You enter into a battle. For some of you, the battle is within yourself, still dealing with things from the past. For others, your battle is in your mind. You constantly rehearse negative things that keep you from seeing positive. And for others, the battle that you're up against is a flat-out spiritual battle. One that comes from an oppressor, the enemy, the devil who wants to keep you down and keep you from succeeding. The reality is, if you've come to accept Christ in your heart, you have entered into a spiritual fight. If you have been walking with the Lord for any period of time, you probably have experienced what I'm talking about. There are some of you, the minute you made a choice to follow God, all of a sudden everything got, come on somebody. Nobody was messing with me before, but now I made a choice to come to church. Now I made a choice to pursue the call upon my life, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. That's not a coincidence. But some of you gotta reach deep down inside of your heart, and you gotta find that thing called fight. I know who I'm talking to this morning. I'm looking at a number of people that you've been through some things. Had it been anybody else, they might not have made it. But because of who you are and what God's put inside of you, you're still standing. Now, some of you might be standing and holding up by a thread, but guess what? As long as you still have breath, as long as you still have a mind to imagine the possibilities, there is still hope for whatever it is God has called you to do. You know, these scriptures encourage me because the Apostle Paul was a man who lived life to the fullest. And when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, when he says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. What's interesting, if you really examine this scripture, what he is talking about is the fulfillment of his life. He was writing to whoever read, listen, I have emptied everything that I have and given it away. You see, a drink offering was a sacrificial offering that would be poured out on the altar of God. So here he uses the metaphor of his life being poured out in service to God. Knowing he was at the end of his road, he was fulfilled. In his heart, he knew he had given it his all. One of the greatest tragedies in life is that there are so many people that will die full. There will be so many people that will never fulfill their full potential because of the inability to get started. That there are some people that they were promised greatness, but because of the battle in their mind, they were unable to get started. There are so many people who live unfulfilled lives. Listen, this morning, if you're here, you have to know this. You can live life to the fullest. The Bible says, listen, in John 10:10, the latter part of that scripture, you know, this gives me hope. He says, I have come to give you life and that you may live it abundantly. In other words, I didn't just give you life, but I gave it so that you can live it up. Amen. I read something that really struck me. I want to read it to you. Some of you may have heard this. A preacher once said, the wealthiest place in the world is not the gold mines of South America or the oil fields of Iraq or Iran. They are not diamond mines of South Africa or the banks of the world. The wealthiest place on the planet is just down the road. It is the graveyard. Because in the graveyard, there lie hopes and dreams that were never fulfilled, inventions that were never created, best-selling books that were never written, songs that were never sung, songs that were never written, and masterpieces that were never painted. See, in the graveyard is buried the greatest treasure of untapped potential. One of the things that I fear in life is that when I grow old, I'll live with regret. See, our job as God's children is to pursue the call of God upon our lives. It's to find out why we were created. And in doing that, we are to pour our lives out and give the grave nothing. Listen, I made a commitment when I gave my life to the Lord, I would give the grave nothing. This world did nothing for me, therefore I want to leave nothing. When I die, I want people to say things like, man, I don't know how he did it, but he was always investing his life in somebody. I want people to reflect, man, he was a tore up case when he walked in the church, but God got a hold of his life. Every day he told somebody about the Lord. Every day he dedicated his heart. I want to be a man that when I'm sitting on my deathbed, I can look at my children with a smile and say, follow after me as I pursued Christ. And listen, this morning the simple message is this. God has a plan for your life. God has something special for you to do. You have to know this morning that God has a course mapped out just for you. Understand that when you were created, the Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. There are things about you that cannot be replicated. There are unique gifts inside of you that no one will ever be able to be blessed from unless you act on them. See, there are many of you, you're in this room, and you think that you're not good enough. You think that maybe God doesn't want you. How many have been there? I've been there. Listen, God wants you. God wants you. I think because you would bring him the greatest glory, right? I think, and I have a crazy imagination. How many have a crazy imagination? I picture heaven something like angels, right? And I picture God looking down from heaven. And he says, I want that one right there. Oh, that one right there in the suit. And he's like, no, not that one. I want that one. Oh, that young man right there, the one with great potential. No, I don't want that one. I want that one. Wait, which one? The one in the bushes? Come on, somebody. Yeah, I want that one right there. I want the one that can't put the bottle down. Come on, somebody. I believe with all my heart that God looks down and he wants to use What does the Bible say? God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, because the world in its wisdom did not know God. Listen, there are some of you, you have been through some things, and I believe God is going to turn your life around. He is going to put you on a pedestal, not so that you can shine for yourself, but that you would learn to bring Him glory. People are going to look at you, and they're going to say, it could only have been God that turned that family around. It was only God that could bring that marriage together. It was only God that could bring them out. It was only the Lord that was able to do something great in their life. Some of you got to understand that there is greatness inside of you. But listen to me. In order to fulfill greatness, you will have to learn to fight. We cannot be people that just bow down to our circumstance. You will have to learn to press through the struggle, and you'll have to learn to endure through opposition. Why? Because we have an adversary. We have an enemy. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he trying to steal, kill, and destroy? He's trying to destroy your faith. Because if you lose your faith, you lose the very thing that gives you the ability to do what you cannot do. You take faith from us, you take courage from us, and fear sets in. Faith is the ability to believe in the impossible. It's being certain of what you hope for and sure of what you cannot see. I can't see it right now, but I know God spoke to me and He called me to preach the gospel. I don't know how we're going to do it. God called me to come to build a church here in Tacoma. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I believe God to do great things. There are some of you right now, you're sitting in these seats and you already feel the call of God upon your life. You feel that God's going to call you to take a city one day. Listen, it's not too late. God has called you. The calling of God cannot be revoked. Amen. Your decisions can delay the call, but it cannot be revoked. Because God has something for you to do that no one else will ever be able to do. See, this morning, I want to challenge you to arise and shine. Live life to the fullest. Pour yourself out so that when you die, you give the grave nothing. Now, I feel like I got to caution myself there when I say live life to the fullest, because some of you, if I tell you that, you go crazy. Come on, somebody. Let me clean it up real quick. With God, learn to live life to the fullest. Some of you are like, man, I'm about to live it up at the Super Bowl party. Come on, somebody. Don't be bringing nothing crazy up in here. This is church. God has a unique race for you to run. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Listen, God has a race for you to run. There is a journey and a course mapped out, and it's detailed for your life. Now, in order to run this race, listen to me. Some of you are trying to figure out what God has for your life. I want to give you three things that the Bible clearly says you can do to run the race of God mapped out for your life. To run the race of God for your life, number one, you have to strip off every weight, the Bible says, that so easily entangles us. Some heavy stuff. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. See, the enemy comes and he tries to divert our fulfilling God's call with sin. God has something for you, but there are certain sins you got to get rid of now. There are things God has called you to do, but the Lord says, in order to run this race, it's time to start taking things off that are no longer of my spirit. You cannot be effective in a race if you choose to run with weights on. You cannot be effective in a race if you wear cleats. Come on, somebody. You got to wear running shoes, right? Like any marathoner, we got to learn to prepare. We got to wear the lightest thing possible. Now, some say, well, I can handle a little bit of this. But God says, no, 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 strip off the sin. See, sin is black and white. There is no gray. And And we're living in a time and a day where everyone wants to, like, somehow justify their sin. I don't know how you can justify something that's clearly wrong. Right? But if we're going to be effective, listen, the type of people that we're called to reach, we're called to reach real people. People that we deal with sometimes, they're going to see straight through us if we're fake. They're going to be able to sense that Pastor Eric, is he high? I mean, I don't do it. I mean, I used to do it, but I mean, I don't do it now, but. Ooh, come on, somebody. Men's home, be cool. Right? What about the little things? What about the little compromises? What about stealing? What about lying? You know, lying on our taxes so we can get a little bit more money. Right? People were like, well, this sin doesn't hurt anybody. Sin is sin, and if you know right, we got to strip those things away. Because in order for us to be effective, the Bible says we have to strip off every weight. Listen, I believe that God wants to take us to new levels, but know this, there are certain places that you cannot enter if you have certain weights on you. The second thing the Bible says, it says strip off every weight that so easily entangles us. Number two, in order to run this race, you got to learn to run with endurance. It says run with endurance, the race set out before us. This is what the definition of endurance is. It's the ability or strength to last. It's the power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. That's some heavy stuff. The ability or strength to last. It's the power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process. Now, the reason this is so important, because in order to be great, we have to learn to endure difficult situations, those that are unpleasant to us. There are going to be times you're going to face things that are not fair. We live in a very judgmental world. But I'm talking about walking a walk, running a race where we don't quit. We don't give up. We don't throw in the towel. We understand that He's the creator. He is the one that pronounces our faith. He is the one that will help us endure. And when we run with endurance, we understand that we're no longer running for ourselves, but we're running for the Lord and everyone else that follows. There are some people, we experience unpleasant and difficult circumstances, and we buckle under pressure. We bow down to our situation. God says, no, I need you to learn to run with endurance. Things aren't always going to feel good. But in order to be effective in my kingdom, we got to learn to fight the opposition. We got to get that spirit within us where we're not going to quit when they tell us we can't. We're going to stick it out even more. We're going to go the extra mile simply because we represent the Lord and we do not want to bring Him disgrace. Those are the things that I think about. I'm just like any other man. I've struggled in my mind. I've gone through things. But I've always come back to, I have a family. I'm doing this for the Lord. There are people watching me. I have to continue growing. I have to live a life that's black and white. I got to make sure that I'm doing everything in my power to pursue the things of God. I have chosen to grow. I know I can't stay the same. If I stay the same, we're not going to go anywhere. But I got to stretch. There's times I don't sleep because I got to. Come on, somebody. When was the last time that you went to bed late? Not because we watched a movie, but because we just opened our Bible and just sought the Lord. When was the last time we woke up early and said, God, I just want to seek you. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to sit in your presence until you talk to me. Amen. Sometimes we go through things and we go to everyone else about our problems, but we don't go to the Bible. We don't go to the Lord. We don't go to Him and say, God, what do you have to say? What do you want me to do? I have found that in times when I don't want to pray is when I need to pray. And I have also learned when I'm praying and I'm falling asleep, come on, somebody, I got to stand up. Hello. But I've also learned that when I am praying and nothing is happening, you've heard me say it before, the principle of five more minutes. Listen, when you don't want to pray anymore and you want to get up, stay down 5 more minutes. When you don't want to read your word anymore, 5 more minutes. Because it's in the 5 minutes where great, listen, it is created. Those that know how to press in. Those who know how to take the extra reps. See, I refuse to bow down. There were so many people that said I would never make it. There were so many people that when I got saved, there were people like, man, this young man's not going to make it. There were people that told me that to my face in the church. And I remember thinking inside myself, I was like, man, I serve a big God. I didn't grow up in church, but inside I just knew that there was more to life. I mean, I moved out at 14. I'd experienced a whole lot by the time I was 20, and I was tired. Who's ever been there? And I just knew that there was more to working. I had been working since I was 12 years old. I'm straight. Summers, 40-hour jobs at 12 years old. I didn't have a summer as a kid. My dad put me to work. I learned how to work hard. And I was like, there gotta be more to life than to wake up early, go to work, come home, fall asleep, and do it all over again. Now, I'm not against that. Listen, some of you, God's going to call you to own your own businesses. You're going to have to work tirelessly, and it's going to be in your work that you're going to bring God glory. There's going to be an excellence. There's going to be a product you're going to develop. People are going to come to know the glory of the Lord because of your work ethic and your dedication. But listen, what I'm saying is, if God hasn't called you to that, you got to be sensitive to the Lord. God has called you to be a champion. But in order to experience the glory of a champion, you have to set your eyes on winning. You got to set your eyes on finishing. Which brings me to number three. In order to run this race, number one, you got to strip off the weights that so easily entangle us. Number two, we got to run with endurance. And number three, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. The scripture says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And I love that translation. It's the New Living Translation because it talks about God already won. He is our champion. He's the initiator. Now, you know why that brings me a lot of hope? Because if God is the initiator and the perfecter of my faith, that means he set out the course. And if he set out the course and I'm going through tough times, that means he set that obstacle there. Therefore, he's not going to give me anything that I cannot handle, and I'm going to have enough endurance, right? Because endurance, I'm able to press in, go through the opposition, and he's going to carry me to his glory. See, some of you got to get to a place where you realize that everything around you isn't because you're a bad person. It's not because you did things wrong. You're simply going through the process. And I will tell you this. Even when you come to the Lord, you can't run from past decisions. You got to deal with repercussions. There is a cause and effect to your decisions. There are some of you, you did things in the past that you're going to pay for today. The good thing is, now you're paying for those things under the peace of God. Amen. Under the glory of God and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we fail not because we are unable, but because we're unable to focus. Sometimes it's so hard to focus and keep our eyes on the Lord. In spite of what I go through, we got to keep our eyes on the champion, the perfecter of our faith. Part of what you're going through is preparing you, listen to me, for the second half. You know, some of the greatest games, the most exciting football games, are won from teams that have come from behind and won in the second half. The great thing about halftime is a time where you're able to regroup. You're able to gather your thoughts, reach deep down inside, and pull out fight. Now, I would dare to say, there are many of you, you didn't have a good first half. You didn't have a good first half. But I got good news for you. Baby, it's halftime. You got some time to reach deep down inside if you focus and you partner with the right teammates, you can break through. This game can still be won. It doesn't matter where you're at. Listen, there are some of you, you're battling. You think, man, my opportunity is left. You're thinking, man, God don't want me. I got good news for you. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship. Some translations say his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. There are good works you still have to do that I will never be able to do, but God has called you to them. Joshua 13:1, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. There are some of you, you got to come to a realization, there is no retiring from serving God. I'm going to die preaching the gospel. I'm not going to retire. I'm not going to come and say, hey, baby, it's 60, man. I've been preaching 20 years. I'm tired. Oh, no. The mercies and the glory of the Lord is every day. I can tap in. And the more I give to God, the more that I sacrifice, the more I get to know him. Listen, there are some of you, you got to come to the realization that you're in the second half. You can change everything, and God has called some of you. Listen, we want to plant more churches, but we need men that say, I didn't have a good first half, but I got it in me, Pastor. I can fight. I know what it is to not give up. I won't bow down to my situation. Listen, you can send me because I know what it is to keep fighting. Some of you ladies, listen. Unmarried, God's going to bring you a pastor one day, and you're going to be a pastor's wife. God's going to use you. Some of you, listen, you men, God's going to bring you a woman of God. She's going to partner with you. She's going to compliment you. You're going to be able to do greater things than you ever thought possible. But you got to be busy for God. What did the Bible say? God brought Adam, Eve, a helpmate. A helper. If you ain't busy, you don't need no help. Some of you are like looking around and you're going about it the wrong way. You're like over here shaving. You look good in church, but the Lord says you ain't doing nothing. You're just sitting there. You don't need no help. Hey, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, but I'm kind of smart. So when I learned this, I was like, what? I ain't doing nothing. I got busy for Jesus. And I was so busy. I remember Pastor Tim told me one time, he said, Eric, be so busy for God. Don't focus on trying to find her. Be so busy for God that God says, Eric, you can't go any farther. You need her now. And I was so busy. And all of a sudden, I was like, she walked in. Come on, somebody. I was like, hey. I walked in. I said, my name is Eric. No, I didn't. If you know me, I'm not one to be at a loss for words. But I seen her, I was like laughing. I was like, yeah. The world stopped for like 10 seconds. I think she was looking at me kind of odd, and I was like, I mean, I seen wedding dress. Come on, somebody. I seen red roses. Hello. I seen hearts. I think Cupid was right there. Come on, somebody. But I was so busy for the Lord that God brought her to me, and I wasn't looking, right? I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I wasn't looking for, but God brought her. And I could tell you, listen, I don't know why I'm saying this, but some of you, you got to make sure that you marry the right person. Make sure you marry the right person. Two fears I have in life. Number one, going to hell. Number two, marrying the wrong person. Because if you marry the wrong person, it's like living in hell. If you're married, God can turn it all around. So don't get all negative. Come on, somebody. In your marriage, you're in the second half. You can turn things around. The great thing is, if you humble yourselves and you come with a game. See, the problem is some marriages, you don't have a game plan. We're just waiting for God to fix things. God's not just going to fix things. There has to be a game plan. Listen, for you, I say this, Ecclesiastes 7:8, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. New Living Translation says, finishing is better than starting. That's good news for those of you that are in the second half, because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Some of you got to start focusing on finishing the race. Don't focus on being first, second, third. You just got to focus on finishing. But listen to this. Those of you who have ever raced, you know that once you start pumping, once your heart starts going, you start to surprise yourself. You pick up speed. You build endurance, which will surprise you on what you're able to do. The beautiful part about that, finishing is better than starting. It focuses on finishing the race versus starting. The second part of that scripture says patience is better than pride. Now, why would it say that? Why would it say finishing is better than starting, patience is better than a proud spirit? A proud spirit will try to take on more than they can handle. And the Bible says that what? Pride comes before a fall. But those that are patient in nature have the ability to endure whatever God has for them. This is the definition of patience. It's an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Some of us just got to learn to be patient. I mean, anything sets us off. We're annoyed. We're restless. We're mean to people. Right? Don't drive in front of me and cut me off because I'll go crazy. I'm still working. Don't judge me. Come on, somebody. But I love that. It's the ability, listen to me, or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. Some of you in the calling of God, you're experiencing delay and God simply has you on the shelf. God says, right now, I just want you to sit. You're experiencing delay. The question is, can you remain with the right attitude? Can you stay on the shelf and suppress restlessness and annoyance? Or are you going to be mad at everybody and have a huff puff attitude? Because God says you ain't learned your lesson yet. You're still proud. You're still arrogant. You still think you know it all. So I'm going to leave you on the shelf and you're going to sit there until you learn patience, which is what? The ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. The word patience comes from the Latin word which means to suffer. And when a man or woman possesses patience, they carry the ability, watch this, to endure, stay even-tempered, when things are not going their way. I'm going to go back to marriages. For some of us, we just need to be patient with our spouses. Baby, be patient with me. Because I'm patient with you. Can we suffer for the Lord and maintain a good attitude? Or do we suffer and we go to work and we talk about everybody at the church, the co-workers who don't come to church, who we've been witnessing to trying to get to come to church? That pastor thinks he's funny. That pastor always says he's going to go short, but he goes long. I learned that early in my walk with God. I remember somebody at church annoyed me. And I went home and I talked about that person to a person I had been trying to come to church. You know what they told me? They're like, so why would I come to your church when you're not even happy? Us working on our patience, whether we see it or not, will bring glory to God. There's nothing like a person that can stay even keeled or even tempered when all hell is breaking loose. See, to grow in patience means a person must bear pain or trouble without losing self-control or becoming a disturbance to others. And I end with this. Starting anything is easy and can often be done on the fly. There are a lot of people, they start great. There are a lot of athletes today, they're promised greatness. There's men like Cam Newton, who how many are rooting for the Panthers? How many are rooting for the Broncos? I'm going for the Panthers. And I'm not going to lie to you on this. You know, one of the things, that one of the hobbies I have is I follow draft time. I follow all the college prospects. I remember watching Cam Newton. In my mind, I was like, can he make it? He's not your traditional quarterback. He has a lot of gifts. He has a lot of skills. But the question around him remained, can he play at the NFL level and can he develop as a pocket passer? Those of you who are into football, you know what I'm talking about. Now, they say mobile quarterbacks don't really do too well, right? But men like Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, they defy the odds because their laser-like focus and ability and willingness to delay, endure for the sake of becoming great. You got men like Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football. Everyone thought he was going to be the next big thing. But his inability to stay focused cost him everything. Those of you read the articles, he was dropped by his agent. They say he may never play in the NFL again. What I'm trying to say is this. Ecclesiastes 9:11, the race is not to the swift. And some of you, you got to understand, God has you in the palm of his hand. God has you in the palm of his hand. No superstar ever became famous overnight. There was a patient process. And when everyone else was asleep, they were pressing in. When an athlete works hard, they trust the process and endure patiently, stars are born. When teams work hard, they work together. They trust the process and endure one with one another in patient, championship teams are born. We may not have all the skill in the house, but we have team. We have family. And when we interlock and we know we're fighting for the next guy, something inside of us rises up because we're doing it for our neighbor. The problem is some of you, you're not fighting for your neighbor yet. You're still fighting for yourself. And I believe the next level of our church is when we start fighting for our brother. We start fighting for our sister. There are some of you, you go home and you think of people in the church, right? Not in a bad way. I mean, you have thoughts. Man, I something about them, I wanted to tell them they did good. Or, man, I they're on my heart, I want to pray for them. Who's ever been there? There are relationships that need to be created. There are support systems that need to be developed. There's some of you in this room, you just need a big cry. But it's not safe yet. It's okay. We're not going anywhere. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Ecclesiastes 7:8. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is